This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. Today, we are gathering with many of our listeners to celebrate the 70th anniversary of Christian Crusaders. We pray that the Lord will bless us with His grace as we join both in person and on the radio, and we invite you to join us every Sunday on this radio station at this time for worship.
In a fast-changing world, we hear people asking, is there anyone or anything that is stable today? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today, and we pray that you will continue to listen. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are often insecure because everything around us is changing. People are changing. People whom we depended upon are changing. We look into our own souls, and we see that we are changing. The culture of our day and the influence of many close friends have made us different people. But today, O God, we pray that we may hear your word speaking, that there is a changeless one, and his name is Jesus. Grant that you, Lord Jesus, may give us the security that we need to walk in a fast-moving, changing world. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, there is no question that life has really changed in these past 60 years. I can vouch for that. I have lived during those years and know that nothing seems to be quite the same. As I look around in my study, I see three instruments, or whatever you want to call them, there in front of me. The one is a television set, and so I can turn the knob and here I have the evening news, and I'm taken directly to Iraq. And there I see the fighting that has taken place that day, the number of people who were killed. And I notice that the casualties are not just the soldiers. That's bad enough. That's not minimizing it at all. But there are women, civilians, and little children. One night, the reporter told us that there were more children who were casualties that day in Iraq than there were adults. That's the horrors of war. And that's the change that we have. There is no secret about war anymore. In World War II, it was pretty much a secret. Got letters from the loved ones telling how they were fighting and how many had died and things like that. But it was not until they got back home and told us on a one-to-one basis what they had really gone through that we began to have any understanding of World War II at all. Not so today. The television has changed the whole situation. And then I look and there's my computer. What you can't do with a computer. Well, I'm pretty limited because of my knowledge, or lack of knowledge of the computer. But some people do some wonderful things. I had a friend who told me that last evening she played bridge with a person in Britain. She likes to play bridge, and she's a widow lady, and so consequently she has to find somebody to play with her. And as a result of that, she hooks up with a person in Britain. Isn't that something? And those of us who use it more conservatively will find that the computer can be used to bring the email to our loved ones wherever they are, and we can communicate with them very, very cheaply during the course of a day and know everything that is going on in their lives. And then there is a cell phone. The cell phone certainly has taken away pretty much of the privacy. Once we used to say, let's go out to the golf course and get away from that telephone, if nothing else. The golf might not be too good, but we get some privacy out there. Nobody can find us. Not so today. If you got a cell phone, you got it on. Something to be contacted on the 15th hole and asked a question, or on the 14th hole and be asked, could you come in? We need you soon. Privacy gone. That's a change. Communicating with people around the world on a very frequent interval, that's changed. Television that takes us into every conceivable place in the world, that's changed. Then there's a change in philosophy. There's a change in thinking about what's right and what's wrong, and you get a different sense of values, don't you? I listen to some people, and they're not the same people that they were 20 years ago. Society has changed them. Culture has changed them. And you think, well, that really is too bad, because sometimes the changes are not that good. But then I look into my own soul, and I see the changes that are taking place there, and I have to ask myself the question, well, where did all of this take place? Is there nothing today that's stable? Is there no one to whom I can turn who I can say, that person is the same today as he was 30 years ago? Well, I don't know if there are those people around, but I know that there is one who is not changeable. His name is Jesus. And the writer of the book of Hebrews put it very well when he said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Once again, my text. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These are the words we need to put into the hands and into our minds and into our souls and into the hands of our children. And we need to be able to push the recall button when this changing world begins to confuse us. Now, I can hear somebody say, but the Bible has changed. No, it hasn't, my friend. Well, this is not the way that we used to interpret it. My grandmother had an entirely different interpretation of this text than we have today. Man might have fooled around, to say, with the Word of God, and has made some changes that were appease society because that's the way they wanted to think. Theologians sometimes have let society dictate what the Word should say, rather than the Word saying what society should be doing. There are those changes, but the Word of God, theologian, pastor, teacher of any kind, has not changed. According to its own testimony, Jesus Christ, who is the Word, is the same yesterday, today and forever. And we can do all the picking and choosing that we may want, saying, I want this particular passage because it comforts me, and I'm going to cast out this one because it disturbs me. But that doesn't change anything. God's Word and God Himself is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'd like to take three different incidences in the New Testament and try to make this a bit clearer. You all know the story of the prodigal son. He was a young chap who came to his father one day and he said, Father, I want to have my share of the inheritance because I'm going away. I want to see what the rest of the world is like, and I want to talk with people and examine their way of life. And the father argues with him and says, look, we've got it so good here. You don't have to go away. Oh, I know I don't have to, but I want to. Let me have it. So after much arguing, the father gave the inheritance to his younger son. And away he went. And it was quite a ride for him. Pretty soon he didn't have any money. And he didn't have anything to eat. And all of his so-called friends didn't know him anymore. So he went to a farmer and he said, I'm destitute. I used to live on a farm. Could you give me a job? Well, the farmer said, things are kind of tough here, but you can go down and take care of the hogs if you want to. And your pay will be you can eat whatever the hogs ate. So the fellow was down there working away until finally Luke in the 15th chapter, verses 17 to 24, says this, the young man came to himself. First then his eyes were open and he saw the lights were not so glorious after all. And he said, when I think back home that my father's help were living very comfortably, and here I am, it doesn't add up. So he decided that he would go to his father, and on the way he practiced his talk, I'm sure, and he said to the father when he got there, Father, I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But will you let me have a job? Just a job, that's all I want. I don't ask to be a part of the family anymore. But the father was way ahead of him. When he saw the son coming over the horizon, he recognized him. And he said, my son who was lost has been found, who is dead is alive. And he ran out and put a coat of many colors or whatever it was on him, and they celebrated. They had a great time. He was a waiting father. His child was away, and his father would not be satisfied until the son was back home. Why do you think Jesus told this parable, and I've just given a part of it? He wanted us to know that he is a waiting father. And he is the same today as he was then. No different. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of us have walked away. And let's get a little bit specific. Let's say that if you went into a church and asked to see their records, and if they would let you see them, you'd find that back many, many years ago, you had been baptized and confirmed and maybe married in that congregation. But then you drifted away, and Christ became less and less in your life. Am I talking to some of you? You're the prodigals. You have no time for organized religion, you say? You think the church is a kind of a farce? You don't want to confess any faith in a deity unless it may be, well, I believe in a higher supreme power. But inside of you, there is still a feeling of emptiness. You are a part of the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. And God is speaking this parable to you today. Why don't you come to yourself, turn around, and go home to God? And who will I find? No, you will not find one who says, well, I'm done with him. God doesn't want me. You may find a person who will say, well, he's beyond all help. But that person in the church is not representing the gospel in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he were interested in having that prodigal back home, he is interested in having you back home. That's the gospel that we send out over Christian Crusaders today to let you people know who once belonged to Christ and have walked away from him that he is anxious to have you back home. Let me give you a second picture. It's our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a God of mercy, but who is also a God who demands commitment. One day he was walking with his disciples, and he said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. In other words, he wanted them to know that to be a disciple of Jesus was no easy task. There was a lot of truth in this, that salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything. And then as he goes along, he says to them, listen, I have been watching you. I have been noticing some of the ways that you act. But here is a word for you. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're going out in this world, and you're going to have the gospel of the waiting Father. Jesus has died on the cross as a payment for the sins of all, and those who will confess their sins and trust in him will be forgiven. But you're going out there to tell them that this is the only way to heaven. And it is an adulterous generation. It is a sinful generation. They'll laugh at you. They'll belittle you. They'll ridicule you. They'll turn their back on you. But you are not to be ashamed of me. And that's over a cup of coffee in a beautiful restaurant with a group of ladies at 10 o'clock in the morning. And let's tell it as it is. That's in a bar at 5 o'clock at night on your way home, men. What are you going to do? It's at that particular time, if you keep quiet, you are ashamed of Jesus. And he says, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if that's the way you're going to live, you're ashamed of me now. I will be ashamed of you. He is a waiting father. He was, he is, he will be. But he is also the living Lord who calls for a commitment. May I give you one more picture? Now, this is a picture of Peter, a man who always had many anxieties, wondering what was the right thing to do and what was the wrong thing to do. The anxiety that he had between the time that he denied Jesus in the courtyard and meeting the Lord on the seashore and being granted the forgiveness of sins. He was trying to carry his anxieties by himself, but they didn't work. It was too heavy. He was not big enough to carry them. And then finally, Jesus met him. And when he met him, he said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he repeated that a couple of more times. And then he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And what Peter did was cast his cares on the Lord and let the Lord Jesus Christ have them. And the Lord was willing to take those cares. Certainly our friend Peter had denied him, and at times had been very unfaithful. But now, in a right relationship with the Lord, Peter knew that no matter what the difficulty was, he could cast his cares on Jesus. Is there anybody who is stable today? Well, there are. And certainly the one that we think of today is Jesus. He is a Jesus who says, I want to take your cares. I want to take your problems. Cast them on me. I was big enough for Peter. I was big enough for some of the great men of God down through the ages. And I am big enough for you. Why do you carry all of these things? You can't come up with any conclusions that are going to solve your problems in many cases. That's why I'm here. Oh, Peter had so many cares. We could go on and on. I think of that day that he was in the home of Simon the Tanner up in Joppa. And there were some men who came from a person by the name of Cornelius who lived down in Caesarea. The Lord evidently wanted Cornelius to know the gospel. Problem was that Cornelius was a Gentile. But he had sent some men up there. You can read this whole story. It's an interesting one in the 10th chapter of Acts. He had sent some men up there to get Peter to come down and share the gospel with them. So finally, after being begged and told by revelation that he should go, Peter goes down to see Cornelius. When they get to the door, Cornelius says, come on in. And Peter, hesitating, says, I don't know if I should. You know, I'm a Jew, and we're not supposed to go into your homes. But he finally went in anyway. And what was the result? The result was that he told the gospel, and Cornelius became a Christian together with his household. Now he has a care. He had delivered the gospel, but what would the Jews say to him? You went into the Gentiles. Peter, who could not be ashamed of Jesus and knew that God was a waiting father, said to him, look, Christ is for the world. I can't be silent on that any longer. And whatever cares you bring me, I cast them on him. And therefore, when he wrote his little book, he said, cast all of your cares on the Lord. He cares about you. That is a verse, friend, that you need to put into your spiritual computer. That is a verse that needs to be recalled in this day and age when nothing is certain. Christ is certain. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Father, in this confused world, a world that is forever changing, and a world that brings us all kinds of frustrations, we come thanking you. Help us to understand it, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. Since September 6, 1936, Christian Crusaders has been providing a worship service for those unable to attend church and all others who need to hear the Word of God. This afternoon, we are celebrating our 70th anniversary with an open house event between 2 and 4:30 p.m. at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa. A short program will begin at 2:30. We invite you to join us for an inspirational afternoon. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.